Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 20 of season 5. This one is called The Cost of Living, or just Cost of Living, no the. It was directed by Weinrich Kolbe, written by Peter Allen Fields, and it aired back on April 20th, 1992. 4/20/1992 for all you stoners out there. In this one... What is the description of this one? In this one, Loxana Troi is on board the Enterprise to hold her wedding ceremony, and she also takes an interest in Worf's son, Alexander, encouraging him to adopt her carefree ways. It's just going to be me talking about this one. So right after this, I'm going to go deep on cost of living.
I don't want to agree.
But you have to agree. That is what an agreement is. Counselor Troi, excuse the intrusion, but we're having some difficulty drawing up our contract. Mrs. Troi.
He's not fair.
The boy is unreasonable.
Well, of course he's unreasonable. He's a child. Aw, in such a child. You know, making little boys reasonable only gives them pimples.
Alexander, this is my mother.
Alexander? What a wonderful name. You know, I once knew a tall, handsome warrior named Alexander. Oh, he utterly adored me. And we went everywhere, simply everywhere. Have you been anywhere yet? Contract? What contract?
I know when I do these things by myself, it's not the favorite thing that the listeners really want to hear. I get a lot of comments that are very kind that just say, you know, it's a lot better when people are on the show. And I don't disagree with that. I think that these shows are generally a lot better when people... other than myself, we're on them, and I can bounce things back and forth. But for this one, I'm up against a little bit of a deadline, so I thought I'd just review it myself. And, you know, going in, I remembered it not being that great of an episode, so I thought it would be a little bit easy. I feel like I've given people a bunch of bad episodes recently. There's been some really great ones mixed in, like Cause and Effect, everything. But I feel that people have had a lot of bad stuff going in, and looking at the schedule going forward, it's not like there's a... you know, a whole bunch of great episodes. So I figured I'd cover this one by myself, review it, go through it. That's how you do it. And come up with some opinions of my own. I mean, Cost of Living, it's a Loxana Troi episode. So I'm sure people like maybe Tana and Sean would enjoy this one. This is, I was surprised to learn, her fifth of six appearances. She only has one more in season 7. She comes back in the Dark Page episode. So this is kind of getting towards the end of the series, and characters are going to start making their final appearances. Chief O'Brien is going to be appearing shortly in his last appearance. Not shortly, but relatively soon. This is Loxana's second to last appearance. So I guess what's interesting about this one is that it combines two fairly unlikable characters in Alexander Rodchenko and Loxana, and it puts them into a storyline together. And I actually, you know, going back on this one, I don't think this is that bad of an episode. It's certainly not terrible, I don't think. It's not great shakes, or it's not anything that you're like, wow, that was really fantastic. I think it suffers a lot from, A, the formula of these Star Trek The Next Generation episodes, where they had to tie in a B story. Not that I think the B story here is bad, but it has nothing to do with anything. It has to do with that formula that they have to maintain. And also, I don't really know what the theme... I understand what the theme here is between Loxana and Alexander is about there's going to be time for rules and there's time for carefree, and it's about how you balance those while staying true to yourself. That's kind of what the episode is about. It's about sort of maintaining your own personality as the rules and society come around you, and how do you keep yourself balanced and stay happy while also making other people happy. I think that's what the show is about. It doesn't really do much of an examination in way of that. It really just has sort of they have scenes where they are being troublesome, Loxana and Alexander. They have scenes where they sort of realize that this is what they have to do to be happy. They don't really come to any sort of compromise with people who have their best interests in heart. At least Worf and Deanna Troi have Alexander's interests in heart, but they're sort of just pushed off to the background. Loxana ends up nearly getting married to that sort of stuffy, protocol-obsessed minister. That ends, you know, and it doesn't really, it's exploring this issue without really saying anything interesting about it, which I think is fine. It's just, it ends up, you're never going to have anything above an average episode in that case. And that's pretty much where this one ends up. I didn't mind the scenes between them. The scene where I think that a continuing criticism I'd have of Loxana is that she bounces back and forth between her personalities too much. And I know that the one that she was in before this, I forget the name of the episode, but it's the not The Cost of Living. That's this one. It's the one where she falls in love with a guy who has to ceremonially kill himself. Half a Life. I think it's called Half a Life. And that one, she's sort of the same, but that one makes a little bit more sense where she's trying to be the bubbly, effusive personality that she usually is. And it's balanced off with her sort of love interest. And I think that episode makes a little bit more sense to play her that way. And this one, she has that one scene, which is extra traumatic when you realize that Gene Roddenberry, her husband, had recently died, where she has that scene where talking about you're growing older and this is, you have to kind of take what you get when you get older. Nothing really goes against that. I don't know. The character doesn't really come to a realization that's not true. It also hits home a little bit hard when you realize that this actress was the wife of someone who had just died recently, a couple months earlier. So, I mean, that scene is nice. I wish the episode had done more with that. It doesn't really stick to that. It doesn't focus. It's written much more of a comedy script, and it doesn't really work, despite the fact that Michael Dorn does some pretty great broad comedy here. I don't think anyone would say that this is a very subtle comedy that TNG is trying to do, but he does a pretty good job. The episode is written largely that way, with little bits of melodrama and dramatic stuff between Loxana and Alexander. None of it really amounts to anything. It's not all that particularly interesting. It's fine for what it is. They took two unlikable characters and they sucked them together in a script that is not horrible. It's just not anything outstanding. For the B plot, what they did was they paired it with probably one of the more egregious episodes. We've complained about it in the past, how sometimes the B stories just feel totally detached from what's going on. This B story feels completely separate from anything that's going on in the story. The Enterprise basically in the cold open, which is actually kind of awesome, where they blow up a comet that's on a collision course with Earth, or not Earth, on a collision course with some planet. They blow it up, and as they're flying through the debris after saving the day, little glitter aliens come out of the comet debris and sort of land on the Enterprise. And the B story here is that these are some kind of parasitic aliens that eat metal, like nitrium or some component that the Enterprise is largely made out of. These aliens eat and they turn it into a Ghostbusters style goo residue that's left behind. And the goo predictably drips on people, drips out of consoles, drips out of silicon pads, it drips out of, you know, the computer terminal things. So there's Ghostbuster level amount of goo just dripping around, which is the waste product of these aliens eating the ship. And that's pretty much it. The rest of the B plot is a race against time to get the aliens back to the place where they came from, which is an asteroid field, which is rich in this nitrum or neutronium or whatever element. And they can get the aliens back there. The crew passes out halfway through because the ship is falling apart. So only Data is left in command of the ship. There's really no drama. Data gets the job done and beams the aliens basically back into the asteroid field. And then the ship is repaired all of a sudden, which is very nice. Picard and the rest wake up very sweaty. Apparently life support, you just get real sweaty when there's no life support. I guess the weather systems or the HVAC of the 24th century really goes kaput pretty easily. You'd think they'd get cold being in space, but apparently that doesn't happen. You just get very hot. So they wake up sweaty. That's it. They save the day. Totally detached from the B plot. The A plot, where Loxana is marrying this guy, this protocol minister, doesn't even tie in at all. He has no input on this beaming aboard a starship that's basically falling apart for his wedding. And you'd think with the protocol minister, it'd be something he'd be very interested in, the sort of protocol of what's going on. They don't tie it in whatsoever. You never see him or Loxana in the B plot, to the point where everyone on the ship must have passed out and no one mentions it whatsoever in the A storyline, which is a real detached, weird thing that they did. I mean, it really feels, we mentioned this before in Transfigurations in season 3, I think that was. It's an episode that Transfigurations felt like they had a bunch of storylines at the end of a season, and they're just like, fuck it, stick them together, see what happens. That's really what feels like happened here. The A storyline of Loxana and Alexander coming to terms with their lifestyle choices doesn't really have any impact whatsoever on the B story, to the point where it's sort of ridiculous that they are so distant, the story doesn't feel like it's cohesive. And that's kind of what happens here. It's the same thing. The B storyline, even though I think it's interesting, and I like the Ghostbusters style effect of the goo everywhere, it's kind of been done before at this point in the show. Like, it's another one of the ship's falling apart. Data is going to be the only one left standing to fix it. He does it, yada yada, we win. Those storylines are getting a little bit old at this point, and you are starting to notice when the show repeats them, and especially when it doesn't repeat them in a very good or interesting or new sort of novel spin on it. It really is just, this is what's happening, Parasite. We got to get out of here. The solution is very easy to come by. You just have to get them to point B, and then they'll leave the ship. That's all you have to do. There's nothing scientific really figuring out the problem. There's nothing has to do with the plot of the episode. Nothing has to come together. The script doesn't have to think very hard. You just do it. And that's pretty much the B plot here. The A plot, I think the B plot is a perfectly fine, serviceable B plot. It's not particularly interesting, even though I like the goo and I like the sort of concept of a parasite on the ship. It doesn't really do anything with it. It's fine. It is what it is. The A plot is a little bit better in terms of narrative. I'm just not as interested in it, mostly because it doesn't hit the theme hard enough to keep you interested in it. It's not like Family, the episode Family, which I think is one of the better sort of dramatic episodes that the show has done, where the entire theme of the episode is family, and you see the various interpretations of family that the crew members have, and then it sort of ties into the Data family when the brothers episode. This doesn't really do that. It kind of presents it kind of sucks to have to listen to the rules. So people should do what they want, but then we'll also not really show you any downside to doing what you want to make it seem like there's a reason that the rules exist. So you end up in this place where it's like, yeah, I guess, good point. Nothing really interesting being said here, which is too bad. And for these narrative episodes, that especially ones that don't focus on a cast member, it's really sort of tough just because the Loxana character is not really nuanced enough, in my opinion anyway, to carry that kind of a story. The acting is there. It's just this character is too written too large and too sort of buffoonish. My wife was watching and she just had to walk out. She just said she couldn't stand Loxana. It's just too annoying. And I think I'm familiar with her enough where that's not really a problem anymore. I can kind of see what they're trying to do. She's come such a long way, like in a way that most of the stuff on this show has come from, like, the first one or two seasons. If you could go back and watch, like, Haven or something, you know, she's come a long way in terms of that. She's not as completely over the top and completely ridiculous because she's sort of balanced out with these moderating periods where she's allowed to play a scene as not a clown, and that's very nice. It's just, I don't know what to do with that character. I don't know what to do with the Alexander character. They feel like the show is trying new things and none of it is just really all that interesting. I don't know if it would be more interesting if you were in sort of real time watching this in, you know, April of 1992, if this would be like new and novel. But at this point, they don't seem new and novel to me because they aren't new and novel, but they also don't seem with benefit of hindsight that this is actually going to go anywhere. So it feels very much like a wasted episode. Because you know that these characters aren't really ever going to redeem themselves. They're never going to grow into anything. Alexander is going to basically get shrugged off. Rolaren is going to disappear after the season. Loxana, as I mentioned at the top, is only going to be here for one more episode. So you're starting to get to the point where you're seeing these episodes and just realizing that, you know what, this is not... it's unfortunate that they're going to spend an hour on this. And I can see that kind of mentality probably getting even bigger or more prominent in my mind as we move into the last two seasons, because we are still only in season 5. We have two more seasons to go, and season 7 is certainly, you know, the reputation of season 7 is that that is going to be the case. The plots are going to start to get a little bit less focused. The writing staff is running on fumes in season 7. They had way too much to do between the Generations movie and this, or the shows. Writing staff was eliminated. People were getting cut and moved to Deep Space Nine and things like that. So, you know, That's what season 7 is. Season 6 will be the last sort of real season of TNG, if you want to look at it that way. And I think they'll, if I'm remembering correctly, they'll sort of move towards more of a focus on the characters. They certainly do it because the appearances of these characters has to drop off, because we don't get Loxana, we don't get Ro, we don't get Alexander that much in the remaining episodes. Have we had a Q episode in season 5? I don't think we have. So Q will come back in season 6. That definitely happens. But I don't think we've seen him in season 5, which is kind of odd now that I'm thinking about it. But I think that's it. So my final thoughts and ratings, I'm going to play a clip right after this. Then I'm going to come back with my final thoughts and ratings for Cost of Living.
I'm alone, Alex. And when you do get older and can no longer pick and choose from whatever may come your way, then you do what we call compromise. Keeps you from being afraid.
Cost of Living. It's a Star Trek episode. I watched it by myself, and I'm talking about it by myself. Thank you very much for entertaining that. Thank you, guys. I'll try to get more guests back on soon. This is one of those up-against-a-deadline type things. And I appreciate you listening, all the feedback, everything. Leave comments. Let me know how it went. But anyway, Cost of Living is a 120th episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. We watched 120 of these, which is kind of shocking at this point. I'm starting to get to the point where I'm realizing that the series is basically wrapping up, you know, fairly soon. We still have a couple months worth of content here to go through. But I am getting, it's a little bit weird. You start to realize and start to see the end. But anyway, Cost of Living. I don't think this episode is as bad as it's made out to be. I remembered it being terrible. I mostly remember the stupid holodeck program with the floating bubblehead thing, which isn't really all that prominent in that. In this episode, I think it's terrifying, and I also think it's a weird case of whatever the show tries to show you something so wondrous that you can't believe it, it ends up looking really stupid because they are obviously building it on a shoestring budget. And that's what this looks like. It looks like someone just took a bunch of crap, like prop stuff, and glued it, spray painted it bright colors and stuck it together, and then had a mud pit. It's a really weird scene that kind of, that's all you remember. I did not remember the goo at all. I just remembered the holodeck program. And the holodeck program is much worse. And I think that's how, if you're going to remember this episode, that's what you'll remember. There is one scene that I think sticks in my mind, though, in a positive way, which is the very ending scene where Mrs. Troy does her traditional Betazoid wedding in the nude, which of course upsets the protocol minister and he has to leave very hurried. And that's sort of the contrast between, you know, Loxana's carefree attitude and the sort of rules of society that she's been pushed up against. And this is her being herself and doing what she wants to do. So she does the wedding ceremony in the nude, comes out, everyone's very shocked. I think that's a really well-written scene. It's pretty strong. It's interesting for TNG almost. It's almost like too adult for TNG. I'm surprised no one covered Alexander's eyes. It's that kind of a thing. But it's a very memorable scene. It works well for the characters. I think it's a perfectly acceptable ending to the episode, which is nice. And it's another thing that sticks in my mind. So the episode can't be all bad if that's a part of it. So for a rating, I think I'm going to give this one a 3. I think it's really not as terrible, I think, as people remember it or claim it is to be. Or I've seen justifications of just saying it's one of the worst episodes of season 5. It might be, you know, it's kind of a weak 3, I guess is the way I describe it. It's kind of a weak average episode. You know, narratively, it doesn't really tie together. It has only a couple things to say, but it's really not that bad, and it does okay with a couple of really annoying characters. So I didn't mind it any more than some of the stuff. It's not as bad as, like, Masterpiece Society, which to my money is the worst episode of the season so far. You know, it's not trying to bite off more than it can chew. It's just kind of an episode that's there. So that's it. I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5. Side note, this was written by Peter Allen Fields, who's going to be coming back very shortly with a very, very good episode. And I wanted to say that I thought that this script was actually fairly well written. One of the most complicated scenes I've ever seen in terms of writing, I think, is the scene in the Troy's quarter, Loxana's quarters, where everyone is there. The protocol minister, Deanna, and Worf come in, and Alexander, and then they leave. That's a very complex scene because there's a lot going on, and the dialogue plays off each other very nicely. So Peter Allen Fields did a good job writing that, and I don't think this is a particularly bad script, but that scene in particular, he's got a lot of characters to juggle with a lot of different things, and he manages to bounce their dialogue very naturally off of each other. It sort of, it flows in a way that makes sense in the context of what the characters are talking about, which is very nice, and it was a very elegant scene that he wrote, and I just wanted to point that out. It might go up as the at the end of the season as a type of award, if I can remember, because it is one of the strongest written scenes. Maybe it's not the most exciting or anything, but it's well written and all that jazz. Cool. Well, guys, thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed the content, you're on YouTube, a like and a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review helps get the show out there. I don't think that I have. I do have a couple comments. Let me see if there's anybody here that I can actually respond to, if anyone had a question or any kind of comments I think that stuck out in my mind. Tex Owlbear gave me some advice about how to get poor audience retention but get views on YouTube, so I appreciate that, my friend. Thank you very much. Let's see. Ocrest was talking about Masterpiece Society. I didn't really like this episode when I watched it. First of all, it's incredibly boring, and the Troy romance was handled very poorly, so there's that. I saw this episode less as a philosophical take on eugenics and genetic engineering, and more as a prime directive episode, which I usually hate, and this one was no exception. Wes, you're right when you said that Picard was unnaturally angry for most of the episode for no reason, and I found the conclusion where Picard seems to regret the fact that he helped the society and that they may have been better off dead to be insulting. I'm all with Riker then. The Enterprise had to help, or they would have all been killed. It's not much of a moral dilemma. That's pretty much my opinion of that episode of the Masterpiece Society. There's no moral dilemma. The show is trying to pretend that something is going on, but there really is nothing. If the Enterprise hadn't helped them, they'd be dead. And then what? What's the choice there? There is no choice. You have to help these people. And the cultural contamination is just unfortunate, but in the grand scheme of things, I think it's a little bit better than everyone being dead. Who knows? And then Dmitry Alexandrovic says, the entire series of reviews of him really top-notch. Oh, thank you very much. Really in-depth commentary and holds up each episode of TNG under a highly critical magnifying glass in all facets of storytelling. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. A lot of kind comments. And we are trying to do our best here. Hopefully it's coming across. And we'll be back in another episode or two. What is this after this? This is Cost of Living, so The Perfect Mate. Perfect Mate. Interesting episode. I'll say that much. I was surprised by it. So, guys, see you in a couple days with The Perfect Mate.